The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Then he would say, "Okay, Angelo, now we got to make a change, because from behind a tree in the back of the woods, there's this very lonely girl. Her name is Laura Palmer, and it's very sad, but get something that matches her." And I just segued into this. And he'd say, "Well, that's it. It's very beautiful. I could see her. And she's walking towards the camera, and she's coming closer. Just keep building it. Just keep building it. And she's getting close. Now reach some kind of climax." And I would go, and he said, "Oh, that's it. Oh, that's so beautiful. Angelo, oh, that's tearing my heart out. I love that. Just keep that going." Now she's starting to leave.
Just thought we had to hear that.
Fall down. Keep falling.
Fabulous.
Keep falling.
Composing.
Keep falling.
Genius. David Lynch.
Now go back into the
dark woods. That's who he said. David. Angelo Badalamenti. Won an Oscar. I'm sorry. Not a Grammy. Get my awards right for the theme from Twin Peaks. And this show, back again, Twin Peaks, damn good coffee. I'm ready for it. Anyway, May 21st, going to be the big premiere on Showtime. Fortunately, I have connections because I don't have Showtime. I'm good at begging. May 21st, but the new trailer is getting you a little peek of the new scenario. But if you want to catch it, I put it on Wendy's Coffee House. I put if you're not familiar with the show and you kind of need like a up to speed cheat sheet on this, I put the retro version here where you kind of meet all the characters and see what all happened prior to this. And seeing, you know, for those of us who were there at the beginning and really liked the show just for the soundtrack alone, it's like, okay, cool. This is part two, so it'll be kind of fun. Anyway, my guest tonight, coming up just a little bit later, is Carl Greer. And he is an amazing reprogrammer for your health. The first book he had was Change Your Story, Change Your Life. This one is Change Your Story, Change Your Health. And it has to do with no matter what you've got, some kind of illness or a mindset that says you have to be sick, it's in your family, that kind of stuff. He's talking about people that he knows that have changed it and ways that you can work to change your health. So he's coming up. In the meantime, we're going to recap the fabulous stories of the week because it was so fun. I didn't, until it was over, know that it was International Alien Day on Wednesday. And then it was also a lot of hubbub about that. But the top thing was like the 10 films to remind you how fun International Alien Day is. Unfortunately, nothing from John Mack was on it. So we didn't get to see the real stuff, like the Ariel phenomenon. No, there's basically, you know, the tried and trues, the E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I think the Men in Black, one of those was on there. And I'm going back to make sure I don't overlook anybody. I'm looking at E.T., Men in Black. Who's my other guy here? Paul. Yeah, Paul made it. Yay, Paul. Independence Day. Yeah, that's on there. Okay. They missed Starman, and they missed, which I thought was great, K-Pax, and they missed Galaxy Quest. Okay? Galaxy Quest should have been on there. If you see the show, you know what I'm talking about. Forget Mars Attacks. No, that wasn't as good. So that was International Alien Day. There was also something else going on that we're not going to get into. It involved a hotline. And the bold scientists, thank you so much. says ETs were here before humans. Jason Wright works in the Astronomy and Astrophysics Department at Penn State University. If you want to find out the details, AOL has the story. But he does say, they're here, they've been here long before, I guess the plates, when they cracked up and destroyed all the evidence, that's what happened the first go-around, back when Noah was alive. Maybe before. Thank you to the bold scientist, okay? Yes, because a lot of times when you say stuff like that, you go out on a limb saying something that's probably really true, which one of the guys who was predicting that the cosmos was out there and we would be flying out there in the cosmos eventually, he was branded as a heretic. I think it was like 1600. Okay, that was just too much. Didn't want to hear it then. Haunted house for sale. Yes, betcha by golly. This thing is haunted. This is in case you would like. It's a really fine price. $125,000. We'll get you this lovely fixer-upper that they were going to fix up and decided it had too many ghosts. Nine. Mineral Wells, Texas. If you're serious about this and you want to keep it haunted because they've decided to donate it to science and paranormal teams all over are going in to investigate. Haunted Hill House, nine ghosts, and you cannot do any clearings and you may not remove anything because some of the things have attachments. And if you don't want to take a ghost home with you, don't challenge the rules. All right. What they said was, and this is, you know, they've had enough activity going on here that they actually were going to renovate it. The problem is it was a brothel, okay? It tied the direct ties to the Baker Hotel, and they had all sorts of goings-on. Several deaths, and the spirits, one of them is actually a little boy, like about 6 years old. He was the child of one of the girls. And then somebody else went out back and fell in a well. Not one would wonder if he might have been pushed, which would be the reason he would be so peeved and staying there bothering everybody. But they say, due to the level and type of paranormal activity, we will not allow small children. We do not recommend pregnant women, anyone with serious medical conditions, or anyone under the age of 15. Okay? That might be serious. So if you are a ghost hunter and you are serious and you would like to do a little more research and maybe have the whole thing paid for, buy the house. Okay? It's the most haunted hotel is the Baker Hotel. All right? And this was the neighbor. So there you go. There's a little bit of research that you might want to, if you have a solid heart and are used to not sleeping well at night, you can check out that place. I was surprised. $125,000. But at the same time, nine ghosts, that's a bit much. You're getting more than your money's worth there. The Expanse. Yes. Yes. This is, if you haven't seen that fabulous sci-fi show, this is one of the best shows to come out in years. And for the most part, the critics are saying that the science on the show is rock solid. They do have a good grasp of it. They're trying to make it legit. And so season three on the way. I'm still peeved because I have not heard People of Earth. They're supposed to have a season two, and it's not out yet. Or anyway. And then some other stuff you might want to know. Find out how Facebook tracks you. Visit the next web. I've got the link here on Wendy's Coffee House. VR Mind Candy, you want to go in and really feel what it's like to be on the moon or in the world's tallest roller coaster. They're doing that on USA Today. I think it's different every day. If you're not into that kind of activity and need to slow down, the best place to go is the migrating reindeer. And this is a video that gets the whole thing. They're migrating, I think, 148 hours or so. All right, check out the links, wendyscoffeehouse.com. My guest, coming up, Carl Greer. And we're going to get into how you can change your health. This is a different way of using your mind in a way that works for you instead of against you. Getting the worries out of the way and starting to be proactive. Yeah, this is Twin Peaks. Getting the coffee ready now. Doesn't that smell good? Back with Carl Greer next.
I'm waking up.
Wake up, Radioactive, Carl Greer. Change the story of your health using shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing is a follow-up. The first book got a lot of awards. This was Change Your Story, Change Your Life. And right now we're going to shift gears and go into health. Carl, thank you. And do I call you Dr. Greer or Carl?
I was fine, Wendy.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get into this just from the background of the shamanic experiences that you have had to start out with, because this, for a lot of people, is still very exotic, very unfamiliar, and extremely curious to have those kind of experiences. And you you had a life redirect. So could you kind of get us up to speed on what happened and how you got into this?
Well, I was, I guess, a traditional guy growing up in the Midwest, wanted to do what men around me did, and that was work in business and earn a living and provide for my family. So I was a businessman for a number of years, but I'd always had an interest, Wendy, in medicine people and trappers and outdoors. And I started to read about shamans, but I never felt that I could do anything more than read about them, because I had a family and a job and didn't think I could pull up stakes and apprentice someplace. But then almost 20 years ago, around the year 2000, a little bit less than 20 years ago, I read a book by Alberto Villoldo, and almost at the same time that I did that, I was down in the Caribbean with my wife on a vacation, and I just had a, I would call it like a mystical experience in interacting with the elements and so forth, and all these things, all the spontaneous journeys that I'd done before that just came together and made me realize that I really needed to follow this path. Then I found a way to train, and ended up teaching at Alberto School, and I've spent many trips down in South America working with shamans. I've spent time with shamans in Australia and Africa and Mongolia and Canada, and it's become a real part of my life, and it just kind of happened because I was called to do it.
See, to me, that's what's so fascinating, is that you followed through. You were at a point where these things were very real. And then when you're working with different cultures, when I guess, was there one that stands out that works better for you, or that makes is more synchronistic with your beliefs and your way of working with the world?
Well, most of my formal training has been in South America, and so I have an affinity with those traditions, and I've been involved with several different paths down there. Different shamans have different ways of connecting, but I have found that even as I go across the world, most shamans believe that there's an energetic field that we're part of that we can interact with, and if we do it with respect, we can cause things to happen perhaps in this reality that otherwise wouldn't have. And shamans are basically involved with working in nature, the natural world, healing, bringing things back from the past, bringing things into the present from the future. And those traditions seem to cut across all the shamans that I've met in different parts of the world.
I was fascinated. I worked with or interviewed Robbie Holse, and she worked with the Aboriginal tribe to work on healing and that kind of stuff. In the morning that I had an interview with her that day, I was just, you know, kind of in between awake and asleep, and I heard this female voice in my ear say, "Wendy." It was very clear. It was definitely feminine. And that's, you know, that telepathic thing of the connection. And I knew at that point, all right, this is that message. And I've, you know, had a very, very strong feeling that that was from one of the folks that she worked with, just giving me a heads up saying, uh-huh, we see you, we hear you, we're here. You know, it's that reality check of there's so much going on here that we can't always put into a linear way.
No, and that's really, I think, one of the messages in both of my books and in this last one as well, that if we allow ourselves to be still enough and be open, we can have those types of experiences, and we can interact with those voices, and we can find ways to be more healed than we otherwise would have been had we not been open and had those conversations.
And you work with some clients that, and this is, we'll get into more of this, a lot of this is about when you're working your own personal story, is to start realizing some of the things that are issues and writing, blogging, talking, writing, putting a, you know, some kind of a diary together, journaling, is a big part of what you're teaching. How does that make a big difference?
Well, that's the starting point, because a lot of people, we're all busy. We'd rather turn our health over to the quote-unquote experts, and then we get into a world of specialists and in knowing what new study to follow, what diet to follow, what exercise regimen to do. And I'm suggesting that we have much more power to take charge of our own health than we think we do. And in my book, I have a series of practices I suggest that help people do that. That doesn't mean you don't give up your Western doctors, but I'm saying you can do a great good for yourself by first taking stock, being very honest of what is your health story. And a lot of people don't like to think about it, but if you could really be honest with yourself, really what's going on in all these various aspects of your health, your diet, your exercise, your aging, your chronic conditions, your acute ailments, and get a better feel for those, and then you're better able to say how you'd like it to be. And then when you have said that, and then you're always left with the question, well, why isn't it the way I'd like it to be? And then I suggest a lot of practices to find out by looking at the unconscious reasons why you're not healthy. Those involve journeying, shamanic journeying, and having conversations with your symptoms, working with your dreams, working in nature in particular ways, all with the goal of finding out information and energy to help you change from the health story you're currently living to one that is really more healthy and pleasing to you.
And you talk about using expanded awareness, which is what you're touching on right now.
Yes, it is.
So when people are first introduced to this type of program, has it sometimes taken a little while longer? I know everybody's different, but what are some of the results you've seen just initially people getting started with this?
Well, it's interesting. The experience you had. Were you just waking up or around sleep time, did you say?
It was morning. It was, early morning. It was the day of the interview that I had with her, and I knew that this was the topic. But, I wasn't expecting anything to happen, and I heard this voice, a very nice feminine voice in my right ear, and it's Wendy, just my name, Wendy. But it felt like it echoed a little bit, and I knew that was a connect from the women that she worked with.
Yes. Well, sometimes right before we wake or right before we go to sleep, we're kind of in that more relaxed state. And it's neurologically involved with going from having the sympathetic nervous system being in charge to more the parasympathetic nervous system. Lower brain waves at that time. We're more relaxed. Our immune system is more active. And so to your question, have people felt results in these practices? One of the preconditioned practices is to open sacred space, to work on your breathing, to clear your energy field. And just those practices make this shift I'm talking about, where people boost up their immune system before they've done any of the work. But it's preparatory to some of these expanded awareness practices, which involve journeying and dialoguing and going to various transpersonal realms. And people have, just in the preparatory practices, noted that they have felt better. Then when they do the practices, they're more open to the kind of experience that you had. And over time, people have had very, for them, remarkable experiences. And it's not the kind of work that just, you have 10 affirmations, you do these 10 things, and then all of a sudden you're going to be healed forever and ever. It is a practice that takes time and effort, but I've not seen anybody who hasn't done these practices being able to make some changes at the margin.
Okay, hold on. We got to take a quick break. All right. Carl Greer on the line with me right now talking about changing, in a big way, the story of your health. So we're going to come back with more. And in the meantime, though, you can check the website, carlgreer.com, and also get in your own mind a way of rethinking your health story. It doesn't have to be preset. You do have a little bit more control than most of us believe. Back with more on Carl Greer, Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House, thanks for listening. My guest, Carl Greer, change the story of your health. And if you have never worked with these kinds of techniques, visualization, expanded awareness, then you don't have anything to lose. And even if there's something in your story that says that your family, the history, has set you up for a certain illness, it doesn't have to be that way. And I like this, the fact that you include a few people in your book that have worked with even issues as difficult as cancer and had some really fantastic results. So I wanted to get into some of that as well, just to give anyone who's listening an idea that there are some stories that validate the stuff that you're working with and that give people a real new awareness of their own power to change their life story. So if you could, share. There's one that was a woman who had cancer, and she rewrote the history on that one.
Yes. One of the practices that I suggest people do is to actually have a conversation with their illness or their symptom.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I talk about people who've had diabetes or fibromyalgia, and they have a dialogue with it to see what message does it have for them, what does it want from them. And they can ask it, why are you doing what you're doing? And it's really amazing. If people do this over time, Wendy, that they get a lot of information, and they relate that they've had different symptom reliefs that they wouldn't have had before. So there's not it's not like everything is going to be back to the way it was before the illness, but people have had symptom relief. And they have had a different relationship to the illness so that it no longer plagues them the way that it did before they did this work that I'm suggesting in my book.
Well, and there's one that's as simple as having a stiff neck.
Yep. A woman who did this dialoguing process first became aware that she was feeling she was always judged, and she had to kind of look behind her all the time, metaphorically.
Yeah.
And then she became more aware that she does a lot of judging. And as she got these insights, then she kind of loosened up both those reactions, her own judgmentalism and her own reaction to what she felt others were doing. And no surprise, all of a sudden her neck pain went away. A woman who had digestive issues worked with those and found that it was tied into her being very competitive, and particularly she was a competitive rower. And as she thought about how she wanted to be in those aspects of her life, her symptoms went away. So the power of the mind and our beliefs to influence what goes on in our bodies has been demonstrated, and these practices allow people in a practical way to actually make differences.
Okay, now you work with this for yourself, and I read in the book that you have a current issue that you're dealing with.
Yes, I've had, I'm now 76 years old, so I've had a lot of, health things over my life, including atrial fibrillation, and I've had blockages in arteries. But more recently, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and so I've been using, Western medicine, but also some of the practices that I'm talking about in my book for myself, and, who knows what causes what. But my symptoms are in check, and these other areas of my life that I mentioned, blockages in arteries and so forth, whether or not it's the placebo effect or a direct result of what I've done, I've had some unblockages, and I've had some symptom relief in other areas by doing this work that I talk about.
Well, and that's the thing, that you can see results, and you as a practitioner, and even though you're giving it up to this may just be a placebo effect, if you didn't do it, the chances are that there wouldn't have been any kind of a shift. And so something shifted for some reason. And I do think, given that other people have these same kinds of experiences in shifting, that that mind is doing a lot of the work.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, our beliefs impact our bodies. And I mean, they have measuring devices to show that our emotions have effect on our endocrine system and our hormones. And those hormones affect our respiration and our heart rates. And neurotransmitters have different effects and get triggered by different things that we do. And there's a science around all that. Just being in nature in the presence of pine trees can be very healing. They have a chemical called phytoncides that can affect our immune systems in a positive way. You know, being in nature around water, running water, where there's negative ions can affect our neurotransmitters to make us less stressed and to boost our immune system. So there's many things that we can do for ourselves that can be very healing.
When you're talking about people who are changing their story, a lot of times it's just coming to terms with what the situation is in the moment and what they could experience more positive, whether this system or the situation resolves itself. It's just saying, okay, this is what's going on, and no matter what the outcome is, can I enjoy where I am at this moment? That's how I interpret it.
No, that's very true. That's very true. And more than that, this is the way it is. And is there anything at the margin that I can do a little differently to affect it? And that little things at the margin may be exercising a little bit more or less, sleeping a little bit better, eating a little bit better, having a practice of relaxation, however you think about it, meditation or yoga or just deep breathing, that calms us down and gives us a space between the way we normally react to do things so that we do it differently. So that, if your story has been, and you mentioned this before, hey, I'm in a family where all the men die by age 60 of heart disease, and I'm a man, and I'll probably die too, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, that's one story we can tell ourselves. But another story would be, hey, all the men in my family have died by the age 60, but there are some things I can do about it. I'm not going to be one of them, and I'm not going to be overcome by the fear of that, and here's some of the things positively that I'm going to do. Different story.
Well, yeah, and a different energy that goes along with that. Like, yeah. You know, when you go, I am the exception to every rule. I am.
right. And even if I'm wrong, in the process of between now and then, I'm going to feel a heck of a lot better and more in charge than if I just gave in to a fatalistic outcome, which I feel I have nothing to do to change.
Yeah, well, and see, even when I was saying that, it felt really good to say, I am the exception to every rule. And it's just the energy that comes with your language and with your words and your belief, your cells respond to that. And you see that in your practice. When you're working with the archetypes, is there a different way? Does that appeal to people? Are they able to be more creative by seeing it from that external focus?
Well, the idea of being able to be detached a little bit, to see yourself and not just be so identified with your health story, that's a positive. And then to have some language about what's going on, and you mentioned this idea of archetypes, which is a Jungian idea, which basically involves the idea that there are energies that are around us and in us that influence how we think, act, and feel. And we can put names to them, such as, well, you're the you got the workaholic archetype, or you got the mother archetype that allows you to only be there for others and nurture them but not take care of yourself. So there's variations on these themes. And the warrior archetype, nothing's going to defeat me. I'm going to keep going 22 hours a day to accomplish this, that, and the other thing. But that's functional in a lot of areas, but sometimes it can wear you out and kill you. So to be aware that these energies are real and that there's things we can do to change the way we interact with them is a big blessing one can give to oneself.
I want to go back, and we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to go back. Your wife, Pat?
Yes.
Can we talk about what happened with her in this
sure.
next break? Okay, because this is a pretty phenomenal story. And if you're listening, this can happen for you too. Change the story of your health. Carl Greer is our expert All right. And he's worked with enough people to know a thing or two about this. But it's really all about you and what you believe and how you internalize your issues, whatever they are, toward healing, beliefs, lifestyle, changes. You are writing the story. So back with more and Carl Greer and an incredible story with, what, a few more minutes? We're just going to try and condense it into a short story here. On Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio KCMO.
Hi, this is Simone Biles. When kids believe in themselves, it's amazing what they can accomplish.
I believe I could be a pilot.
I believe I can be a professor.
A doctor.
A poet.
I believed I could be a gold medalist. And thanks to the love and support from my parents who adopted me when I was a foster kid, I was able to reach my dreams.
There are 400,000 foster kids in the U.S., many of whom have outgrown their old clothes. That's why Mattress Firm Foster Kids, a program of the Ticket to Dream Foundation, is collecting new clothes. With your donation, you can help foster kids in your community look and feel their best. To learn more or donate, visit mattressfirmfosterkids.org today.
I believe I could be anything.
Come to any Mattress Firm store today and donate clothes to help a foster child in your community. Not everyone can be a foster parent, but anyone can help a foster child.
Miller's the running back. Osweiler feet staggers. Chiefs send five. Johnson came through on a jailbreak sack back at the 17-yard line.
Join Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson at his annual Celebrity Waiter Night at the Plaza Grand Street Cafe Monday, May 15th. Derek and Chiefs teammates trade in their uniforms for aprons to serve guests. Limited tickets available at DerekJohnson56.org.
As Derek Johnson destroys Osweiler, the Texans are 3-0.
After all the sleep you cost your mom through the years, it's time to give it all back. I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. This Mother's Day, give your mom the gift she deserves, great sleep on Boll & Branch sheets. Our sheets are handcrafted from 100% organic cotton. They get softer over time. We guarantee she'll love them. She can try them risk-free for 30 nights. Now through Mother's Day, get $50 off your first set plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com. Promo code SLEEP. That's bollandbranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Wouldn't it be great if you could stop crying before it happens? With the Ring Floodlight Cam, you can. I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor and founder of Ring. Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated HD security camera that connects right to your phone, so you're alerted when anyone steps onto your property. You can now see, speak, or even sound an alarm right from your phone, anywhere, anytime. Does your floodlight prevent crime? Ours does. Check out our Ring of Security kits at ring.com/advantage. That's ring.com/advantage.
It is time. Ted Nugent, rocking America again. The rock and roll event of the year. Friday, July 28th, Providence Medical Center Amphitheater. With special guests, Blue Oyster Cult. And Great White. Tickets on sale now at all Ticketmaster locations, online at Ticketmaster.com or by phone, 800-745-3000. More at TedNugent.com.
So many people these days want to feel deep down comfort and assurance, the kind of comfort that comes from our Creator God. The Bible brings out this comforting love in so many ways, and through its inspired message, we can come to feel and experience God's healing presence. Hear about the comfort of God with us today on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before, and you've heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holtish, voice of the Chiefs. If you want your customers to remember your business, the best way is to do it right here on the radio. You're listening, and so are your customers. This Cumulus radio station has enough listeners and your potential customers to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. It's time to change your business with radio. Go to KCMOtalkradio.com to see and hear the difference.
Coming up Monday on the Greg Knapp Experience, all the latest on the top local and national stories of the day, your phone calls and traffic and weather. Greg Knapp Experience, 6 to 9 a.m.
Wendy's Coffee House. This is a song. I wasn't sure what was going on with my night lights until I knew that they were also affecting me in different ways. Blinking on, blinking off. This is something I've been going through since 1997, a big shift when I had this other connection with energy. And I was going to help at Hurricane Katrina hit and help do some animal rescue work there. And this was the night light playing blink, blink, blink to that song, Don't You Forget About Me. And the deal with that song is don't forget why you're here and what your purpose is and that kind of stuff. So when I'm talking about this shamanic stuff, to me, this is very real. And it has a huge impact on us, whether we believe it or not, because there are people who have been doing this for eons who have a whole lot better awareness and appreciation. And that also with Carl Greer. He's had experience with some of these healers who have an incredible wealth of knowledge that we're just now finding out about and being able to tap into. It doesn't mean Western science and Western medicine has no place. Absolutely not. It means there's another element that comes into your own healing story. And that's why I wanted to get into this, because this makes such perfect sense. When you're working with Pat, your wife,
yes.
This I think it's the tag team, the two of you, addressing this. Can you share how that went? And I'm sorry we don't have more time to really get into it, but how did you approach this?
This was even before I'd done any formal study, and I had had some spontaneous shamanic journeys myself. This would have been in the 1980s, and you know, maybe more than 10 years before I started formal studies. And my wife had had breast cancer, where it spread to the lymph nodes, and it had a partial lumpectomy, and she'd had radiation and chemo. We were on a trip, and all of a sudden she got a big infection where she had the incision, and so it got very red, and a lot of pus started to come out of it. So we just decided we would try some shamanic work, and I had this image of me under a tree with a crystal and a woman in a lagoon with a crystal, and those two crystals were kind of interacting with each other. I happened to have in real reality a crystal. So I had those crystals kind of activated, just directing them towards Pat's wound. And she at the same time was doing visualizations, mobilizing her inner healers as she saw them to work on the wound. And literally, Wendy, in less than an hour, the wound stopped oozing pus. The redness cleared up, and the opening just sealed over. That was very remarkable for the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a few months after that that she had some tests, and it showed that the cancer had come back. And we did some more work. Again, she was doing her own work while I was doing what I was doing. And she told the doctor, you know, don't do the mastectomy, which was scheduled, unless you do the, what they call these frozen C-sections that really show that the cancer's there.
Yeah.
So he was doing it, and he took several of them and said, hey, I can't find the cancer. And they didn't do the mastectomy, and she didn't have the cancer. And just like in the other woman that I mentioned in the book that had the colon cancer, that as a result of the work that she did, had shrunk inextricably. And I can't claim in either case that it was the shamanic work that made the difference. All I know is what I described in the book and what I'm describing to you now happened. And I can tell you the results, whether or not it meant that the cancer wasn't really there or other reasons caused it to heal, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is I don't really care, because in both cases we weren't doing this in place of Western medicine. And if it had an effect, that's great. And that's why I really believe in this work, and those are two actual stories, or as are the other ones that I have in my book, is the things that I've done. And in all these cases, it's really the people that I'm involved with are doing a lot of the work. I may be doing some things and holding space, but the whole point of my book is that we have this innate healing capacity within us if we can find ways to mobilize it, and I'm talking in my book about practices to do just that.
Well, and a lot of this, you know, the view from the shamanic perspective, that the luminous energy body, that there's another factor in this that also has a very significant impact. And if some way, shape, or form we can develop a relationship and an awareness of that, we're more able to address it from that perspective instead of just accepting everything, you know, as rote and somebody telling you, well, this is what's going to happen to you and that's the way it goes. And say, well, wait. Do I need to... Is that the story I need to ingrain, or can I shift it? And there's always a possibility of shifting it, and that's what you're saying, and that's what you're showing people and demonstrating, and part of that is to claim your own story and start working with it.
Well put. Yeah, exactly. It allows us to step back from our lives and say, hey, you know, the bigger questions, you know, where was I before I got here in this lifetime? Who am I? What am I? Why am I here? Where will I be after I leave this world? And we start to relativize ourselves, our stories, and our health stories in ways that it amazingly gives us more freedom of action to work with them differently.
Okay, so aside from buying your book, and people who are interested are probably going to be super curious about that. They can do that too. But what else would you recommend the next step, somebody who's really serious and does have a serious issue that they would like to get help with?
I'd say spend time in nature. Lie down on the earth. Find a tree, spend time in a tree, be with water. I have a free audio on my website you can get called Healing with the Earth. And there's ways you can work with the elements that can be very healing. So that's one thing I'd say a person can do with very little cost and I don't think any side effects to think about, and it can be very healing.
And I just turned, amazingly enough, page 147, Expanded Awareness Practice, Connect with the Healing Space in Nature. And it's beautiful. Yeah, getting out there and leaving whatever you don't leave or whatever you don't need, just leaving it behind and letting that space take it away and heal you.
Yes.
Okay, so with that, we're going to have to wrap up here. But from your experiences from 1980 to now, Is this something that anybody could do, change their life so drastically? I mean, that's a huge redirect from where you came from to this kind of work.
I really think so. If one really takes the time to see what's going on in the various aspects of their life and to say to themselves, hey, I'm satisfied with it or I'm not. If I'm not satisfied with it, how do I want it to be different? And then find ways to make it different. And that always involves looking at the factors that unconsciously have kept us from making it different. And kind of my whole interest in the books that I've written is to have, in a very practical way, how can people make a difference through these spiritual practices in their everyday life, in their health, in their relationships, in their jobs, in their psychologies. And I really believe, having seen it in many, many, by now hundreds of people, you can make a difference. You can change.
All right. We're going to have to bow out right now. CarlGreer.com. Check it out. Change the story of your health. In the meantime, think the best thoughts. It always makes a difference. Till next time, check out hot coffee, strong coffee, damn good coffee. Wendy's CoffeeHouse.com. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Wendy. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.